Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Red Parade, which is the Arrowhead Addict podcast. Sterling Holmes and Matt Connor on this Tuesday edition, as Matt Connor is holding up the glorious boxes that hold, I have no idea what they hold, but he's holding boxes. I appreciate everyone who's listening right now, everyone in the chat already. Brian, Levi Parrish, who says, I am y'all's biggest fan. Please respond. Levi, I'm responding right now to Cole, hey all, and to guys on Twitter who responded, who I promised a shout out to. Shout out to at Gartman1242. Appreciate all y'all listening, hanging out with us. We are about to have some fun. Matty C, what do you got in those boxes?
Yes, sir. I'm holding on to things that don't matter. I'm doing my best Bengals fan impersonation. My hands are full. Let me set these aside and then we can get down to business. Yeah. Who gives a shit about your regular season victories? Let's get into it. While Bengals fans are sitting at home with their players. How are you today, man? I set up that joke. I like thought way ahead on that joke, by the way. I hope it was appreciated.
That was the greatest thing you have ever done. I mean, it's not a super high bar, but really it's about a shin high bar. A lot of people get tripped over that, but you got over it, man. You got over that thing.
It really is low. It really is low. Yeah. Yeah. It's great to be here. Great to be back. Yeah, we got a lot to talk about. A lot of our talking, however, we want to do with our guest. We have a special guest today. What I love about this time of year is that we often bring on guests. Sometimes we get some former Chiefs players, coaches, current prospects, players, whatever. But I also love bringing on some of our great contributors at Arrowhead Addict. Like, so much of our site success is about the great writers that we have there who give their great opinions. And man, ever since we added Lucas Straczynski, he's just been so good at bringing great timely analysis. If you've read AA at all in the last year, you've probably read a lot of Lucas's stuff. So we asked Lucas to come on board today. He's going to be joining us for the first half of the show. Lucas, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm right here.
There he is. Welcome, Lucas. How you feeling, man? How you feeling about being on the podcast?
Really nervous. It's kind of different to be on this side of the live stream, because for the first like 6 months I was associated with AA, or longer than that, I was just a fan. I was in the comment section. I was just goofing around in the live chat and then in the Discord. And then all of a sudden some guy named Matt Connor DMs me on Discord asking me to join the team. And here we go. I think it's almost my 1 year anniversary.
Hey,
since my first post. So,
hey, look, it's been great to have you aboard. You've been great from the beginning. It was easy to ask you because you always just had even great things to say in the comments. So yeah, we're looking forward to the show here, which, by the way, the way you described it, like goofing around and whatever, I mean, that's all we do on this side. I hope that's very clear that there's really no difference between us and some commenters. Is that right, Sterling? I
think we're more like,
am I selling you short? I'm sorry. I'm
Tom Cruise, Stephen A. Smith, but with better takes, of course. Mm. Mixed with Pat McAfee, if he never had a bad take, along those lines. But yeah, besides that,
besides all that,
sprinkled in with some Jim Rome, of course.
Mm, I love Jim Rome.
Yeah, I love angry drunken German says with glasses like that, I trust his math skills. Kind of has that Lamar Hunt thing going on.
That's See, funny. You're funny gold. That's funny because I'm an engineer by day, so works out perfectly. It's one of the jokes my dad used to make fun of me all the time was just having these dumb glasses, and I was always really good at math. So makes sense. So I'm actually more flattered by the Lamar Hunt comment. So I'll take it.
Love
instead
it.
I look like a younger Lamar Hunt. I'll take it. So
yeah, man. Yeah. Own it. Own that.
Yeah.
Well, let's dive in. There's actually a lot to get to. We're talking Chiefs roster battles today. And we'll get to that in just a second. But before we do, you know, earlier today, Ja'Marr Chase dropped a comment just referring to, you know, Joe Burrow and his future deal as, you know, hey, you got to pay the guy. Joe Burrow's the best quarterback in the game, blah, 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 blah. And our own Charles Robinson, who was on the show just last week, wrote about it. You can see that at Arrowhead Addict. But I bring this up to say, it makes me wonder, would you call this the NFL's best rivalry right now? Bengals Chiefs. Like, would you buy that or would you sell that?
I'd probably buy that. I mean, what other options are there? We go to the NFC. The NFC has been constantly turning over. There's been a lot of change, not really a lot of consistency, because the top teams right now are the Eagles, 49ers. They've only met once in the playoffs in recent years. And we all know how that went. Christian McCaffrey is playing quarterback in the fourth quarter. And there's just not a lot going on in the NFC, because the recent champions to come out of there have been the Bucs and the Rams. Those two teams are gone. They're done. And so there's nothing really going on in the NFC. And Brady's been gone in the AFC for a while. No Roethlisberger. It's really the best quarterbacks are really the young ones, the fresh ones, the new ones. So I would say if you're going to go with best rivalries, you have to put Mahomes in there and the Chiefs, because who else? And then the next best option is the Bengals, because some people's definitions of rivalries are different. My definition is it's competitive games. The teams hate each other, but also at the same time, in their series of games or matchups, there's always a different winner. Like, granted, the Chiefs are 1-3, but they won one of the two games that was most important. But the Bengals have beaten the Chiefs in the playoffs. Chiefs have beaten the Bengals in the playoffs. And there's a mutual hatred and almost a lack of respect between certain of the players. So I would say by default, it has to be Bengals Chiefs, but I'm open to other options. I have some others written down.
I'm with it. I'm 100% with it. I don't think the Cowboys and Eagles, while historically, sure, at this current moment in 2023, no chance. I think the Giants and Jets is going to be fun this year. That's one of the games I'm actually looking forward to most outside of the Kansas City Chiefs, because they play each other once every 4 years. And by the way, how often those teams face each other in a competitive atmosphere where both are expected to at least vie for a playoff spot. By the way, just quick tangent. I want to make sure everyone knows this. Both of those New York teams play in Jersey. New York likes to claim it's the greatest city in the world. How can you be the greatest city in the world when two of your teams play not only a city over, but a damn state? They're a bunch of liars. How dare you, New York? You got great pizza, and that's all you have going for you. Kansas City's where it's at. Okay, kick rocks. Back to where I'm talking about the actual rivalries. I think you can make the case for Chiefs, Bengals, Chiefs, Bills, Chiefs, Broncos. No, I mean, the Chiefs have beaten the Broncos every single time since 2015. So going by Lucas's, hit the standards there, you have to be at least a little bit of back and forth. The Broncos have been two scoops of ass. They've been horrendous. The Raiders, no, they've been a little bit of back and forth, but the Raiders have had zero playoff success. The Chargers, kind of the same boat. So when you look actually in your own division, the AFC West, those three teams, yeah, on a one-off case, you have this anger, this hatred, this the funness of beating those. But there's no real nothing really matters in the grand scheme of things beating those three teams. What matters is beating the Bills and beating the Bengals. So I think for this case and this study right now, I say the NFL's best rivalry in 2023 is Chiefs-Bengals.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. Is this the worst time for rivalries in the NFL? Like, I'm thinking 7 to 10 years ago, you had Brady Manning, and you always wondered whether, like, Manning would, like, even though Brady was the more decorated or had the most stuff, at least there was Manning, or at least, like, it felt like there was much more parity. Now it feels like there's the Chiefs, there's a bunch of teams who are trying to topple the Chiefs, and then a whole conference with nothing. I'm not saying the NFL is worse. I mean, I'm appreciating the Chiefs and nobody else, basically. But in terms of a rivalry, I'm really going to buy into, it's maybe the Bengals Chiefs, and then there's, like, everything else is laughable to me. So I'm in terms of, like, the NFL having these great rivalries right now, they really don't. At least not until some of these quarterbacks mature and, like, get a greater body of work underneath them.
One of the common threads of small businesses is that so few are responsible for so many things. That's what makes it vital to have the right people in the right places. This is where LinkedIn Jobs comes in, and that's why we want to tell you about them. When you're hiring for your small business, you need to find quality professionals that are right for the role. And that's why LinkedIn Jobs is so vital. They have the tools to help you find the right people for your team faster and for free. Look, LinkedIn isn't just another job board. They have a vast network of more than 1 billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else, and they do all that while making the process easy and intuitive. Look, hiring is easy when you have that many qualified candidates. So easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. 2.5 million small businesses are already using LinkedIn for hiring. You should too. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/arrowhead. That's linkedin.com/arrowhead to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I think you're understating the Bills just a little bit. I don't think it's to the same extent as the Bengals, but I think the Bills are still considered that rival as well. They haven't had the playoff success, but obviously the game where they went back and forth up into the wire, that was one of the greatest games I've ever seen in my entire life. That was a phenomenal game, the 13 sure. seconds game. You take nothing away from the Bills in that one. The Chiefs just came out ahead. I'm with you to an extent. It's the Chiefs than everyone else, but I think it's Chiefs, Bills and Bengals are still right there. In the NFC, you have, I would say, the Eagles, who are right there. Then you have a pretty big drop off. You probably have the 49ers. You might go with the Chargers. You might go with the Dolphins. You might go with the Jags. You might go with the Detroit Lions, maybe.
Right? That's what I'm saying. I'm with you. Look, a decade ago, you had really good entrenched rivalries kind of all around in different places, including in the AFC West, like much more parity. You're like, okay, man, when these two teams go, who knows how this is going to turn out? And now it's like, you know how it's going to turn out, which we all love it. But in general, in the NFL, if you're talking great rivalries, it's kind of boring right now.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, right now it's the Chiefs' conference. They own it. Until somebody beats them, again, they own it. I mean, yeah, the Bengals got them once, but three of the past four Super Bowls for the AFC have been represented by the Chiefs, and the Chiefs have been to five straight conference championship games at home. That's not only just playoff success, but that means they're dominating in the regular season because they're always getting a top two seed and they're always winning enough in the regular season to earn home field advantage. It's not like they're coming out of the five or the six seed and just getting hot in the playoffs. No, they're dominating in the regular season as well. And until somebody beats them, like, again, I don't want to hear it. For me, this is just my little thing. The only team in the NFL that has a right to talk down to the Chiefs right now is the Bengals. And that's because they beat the Chiefs in a relevant game in the past couple of years. Because look at the Chargers and the Bills. I genuinely don't care that they beat them in September or October. I don't care. Beat us in January. Then if you don't, be quiet. Like, and then you got the Bucks. The Bucks are done. The Bucks with the Brady Bucks said something, but right now it's Baker Mayfield and Kyle Trask. Who cares? Eagles can't say anything. So right now it's just the Bengals because, like, nobody's beating the Chiefs. I mean, like, so they have no rivalries. It's just, I think I saw Angry Drunk and German said it's just victims. I mean, until somebody beats them, there's no rivalry because that's why, I mean, we like to think the Chargers are their rivals. Yeah, there have been fun games. Herbert's only beaten Mahomes once. Like, because I think everyone's perception of that is more from that one game, week three of last year or 2021, that it's all of a sudden it's competitive. When no, it's not. The Chiefs swept him last year, and in a must-win game, week 15 of 2021, on that incredible Thursday night game, the Chiefs came out on top. Like, it's not really a rivalry, and the Chargers haven't done anything in the playoffs. Like, it's the same old joke. Everyone keeps anointing the Chargers before they've done anything. And they're not the Chiefs' rival until they actually either beat them out for the division or go further in the playoffs. And even then, if they don't go to a Super Bowl, who really cares?
Like, what I find fascinating is you have the Chiefs of the one, you have the Bengals, Bills, 2-3, and I think that's your upper tier. But that next level down is really growing. the Jets going all in right now, bringing in Aaron Rodgers, but also bringing in, you know, Alan Lazard, bringing in whatever you think about Mecole Hardman, right? But they brought in another veteran wide receiver to pair him and give Rodgers something. Their defense, we all know, is electric. It's probably the best in the NFL or second best behind the Eagles. You look at the Ravens, they won 10 games last year. They made the playoffs last year. They decided, you know what, we're not blowing this thing up. We're going to try to run it back. Whether that's the right decision or wrong, based on that contract, remains to be seen, obviously. But they said, we're not going to blow it up. We have Lamar Jackson. If he's healthy, that's a 10-win team. You have the Jaguars, who won a playoff game. They're probably about a 10-win team. You have the Chargers, who are probably about a 10-win team. The Steelers have a pretty good roster outside of quarterback. Who knows what's Kenny Pickett? Who knows how good he's going to be? I mean, there's a lot of that next tier of the what-ifs, and I'm pretty intrigued. And it also just shows how deep, how good, and how talented the AFC is compared to the NFC. I don't think we've ever seen parity, or should I say, I don't know how to describe it, so much differential between one conference and the next, because this is incredible. I mean, the 10 best quarterbacks in the AFC, you may can only make the case for two in the NFC that could crack the top 10. Jalen Hurts, are you throwing Dak Prescott? Are you throwing Kirk Cousins? Are you throwing Jared Goff? Are you throwing a Matt Stafford? I mean, there's not really anyone in the NFC. It's wild.
Yeah, that's just the way she goes.
It's totally wild, right? And then look at this year's big quarterbacks. Anthony Richardson stays in the AFC, the Colts. You know, CJ Stroud stays in the AFC, the Houston Texans. You know, even Will Levis, you know, going to the Titans in the second round, if you want to believe something there. By the way, Carolina, if Bryce Young hits, if he hits like a number one pick, and you hope he does for the kid's sake, they're going to have the best quarterback. Like, he's automatically going to be like a top two or three quarterback in the NFC because it's so pitiful on that side of things. It's a straight ticket to the top there, that's for sure.
I like Rocky Thompson really quickly. Rocky Thompson chat, appreciate the chat. Said the Steelers-Ravens was one of the best rivalries in the not-so-distant past. Hate both teams, but it was a much-watched game. They hated each other, and they both had punishing defenses. I'm with you. That was a great rivalry in the past. But I'll also say the Patriots and Chiefs, I thought was a pretty good one. I'm sure the Patriots are probably looking down on Kansas City saying, that's great. You guys a couple of times in the regular season, now do it in the playoffs. Maybe in that instance, the Chiefs were the Bills and the Patriots were the Chiefs, if you want to make the case there. Which is funny because the Patriots and the Chiefs actually play a primetime game this year, even with Mac Jones or Bailey Zappi as their starting quarterback. It just shows that the NFL is still trying to have that rivalry of the once great Patriots and the new great team in the AFC, the Chiefs. They're still trying to push that.
Yeah.
When I was thinking right before the show, like top rivalries in the NFL, one of the ones I had down there was Andy Reid versus Bill Belichick. Because you can make a serious argument that in this century, the two best coaches in order are Bill Belichick, Andy Reid. Tom Coughlin's there maybe at three because he also has two Super Bowls. But I don't think there's anybody whose resumes come close to Belichick or Reid. So that was like one of the ones I had written down. And that's why I kind of theorized a couple of weeks ago that Patriots Chiefs could be on primetime because the NFL wants that Andy Reid, Bill Belichick storyline. Because if Andy Reid gets another Super Bowl, then all of a sudden he's one step closer to Bill Belichick. I know everyone thinks about Patrick Mahomes getting closer to Brady. Andy Reid's getting closer to Belichick. And I'm not a Belichick hater, but a lot of his doubters think, oh, it's more Tom Brady because he's had literally no success without Tom Brady.
Andy Reid's had success without Pat. He's a bad GM. Well, let's just say how it is. If he had a good GM with him, who knows? Because outside of Tom Brady, outside of Gronkowski, they've not drafted very well. That's what it comes down to.
They haven't been able to draft receivers, and that's kind of the problem. It's kind of my taboos. I'm not a believer in coaches serving as GMs. I do believe they have to be separate things because that's what happened with Bill O'Brien in Houston. As soon as he took over the de facto GM duties, that's when they went downhill. Because as a coach, he didn't care about the managing the assets. He cared about who's on the team right now. So they trade two firsts and give a giant contract to Laramie Tunsil, decimates their draft capital. And then they move on from DeAndre Hopkins. Like, and they get David Johnson a second. I mean, seriously, like,
yeah.
And then that's been kind of his problem. Because I forgot who it was. This is a while back. Said Bill Belichick, the coach, is probably the best coach in the league. Bill Belichick, the GM, is at best below average.
Yeah.
Like,
I would 100% agree.
But that's the problem. That's been the problem with the Patriots is he's kind of garnered way too much power in that organization because of all the success. And now we're seeing cracks. Like, their offensive coordinators last year were Matt Patricia and Joe Judge. I mean, seriously? Like yeah. That's why I'm still kind of a believer in Mac Jones. I mean, Matt Patricia, who was a defensive coordinator 5 years ago, and then Joe Judge, a failed head coach who was a special teams coordinator before he went to the Giants. Those two were running the offense. And I can't say this with confidence, with so much confidence, but I think Bill Belichick just hired him as the coordinators because he knew him and he was familiar with them and they were his friends. And that's been kind of an issue, is he's been letting his personal feelings and opinions affect his judgment.
Well, guess what? Bill O'Brien's back. So there you go.
I got a quick little story. I was on a business trip to Boston, and one of the presenters at my company claims to, or is good friends with Devin McCourty of the Patriots, or I think he just retired, but Devin McCourty, we all know him. He's a star safety for the Patriots. She asked him one question: what happened with Brady and Belichick? Why did Brady leave? And she said, you got to do what Bill says. You got to listen to Bill. And I think that's what happened. He became almost like a dictator. He became too powerful. And that's what happened, is if you're too reliant on one person, this entire ship will go down. That's why I respect the Chiefs so much. Yeah, because Mahomes has a lot of power, but there's also Andy Reid. There's also Brett Veach, evening out the power, and there's a good dynamic. There's a healthy dynamic going on. Yeah, the Patriots were winning, but it wasn't exactly healthy. It was just a lot of luck because they were in an easy division and they had Brady.
I'm not going luck, but I will say the three branches of government. You have to have the three branches of government. The Chiefs have that with the quarterback, the head coach, and the GM. We're going to go GM, head coach, and owner. But the Chiefs have a very nice structure. It's been documented, and I do think that plays into their success, their long-term success, and hopefully it keeps everyone on the same page. Let's get into the bigger Ross's battles at present. We're obviously doing this podcast on May 16th. A lot can change from now until the start of the season, until OTAs, until training camp, we understand. But this is fun. Let's do this on May 16th. Connor, I will start with you. Backup quarterback. What are you thinking here?
Yeah, we made a list of these like top battles, and I think this is going to be one that everyone wants to watch because of the importance of the position, right? Shane Buechele. It's really Shane Buechele versus Blaine Gabbert. Obviously, any developmental arms aren't in real competition here for the number two quarterback. To me, this is all Buechele. It would be a real minor, maybe even major upset if Blaine Gabbert were to be able to come in on a cheap one-year deal and outperform a guy who's been clearly groomed for the job. We've talked about that before, how he's occupied, a roster spot all of last year as a healthy scratch. Lucas, what's your take here? Do you think it's a pretty clear favorite toward Buechele?
I'd probably lean Buechele, like maybe 55-45, but I'm probably a little bit closer to it being a true battle than maybe you are. It's possible I'm wrong with that, but
sure.
I was kind of caught off guard by them signing Blaine Gabbert. Granted, that was late in the process, so that could have just been insurance, because after Buechele, there's really nothing. There's nothing proven. It's possible Reed was just thinking, hey, we just need a veteran arm in the room just in case someone goes down, because if there was no Gabbert and Mahomes goes down, it's Buechele, and then who's the backup? And so it's possible they just wanted a veteran in there just in case. But to me, there's no way they carry three quarterbacks again in the regular season. To me, it's sink or swim time for Shane Buechele. He's entering year three in the NFL. If the team doesn't trust him to be the quarterback two by himself with no quarterback three on the active roster, then when will it ever happen? I think it's possible Gabbert, if he's cut, will come back on the practice squad. But it's just a big commitment for the team to add a third quarterback on the active roster, taking away a potential defensive lineman, secondary player, wide receiver, wherever. And it's year three. It made more sense in year two because he was still developing, and you can make that argument. He needed more time. But he's in his third year. If he's not ready to be the backup by himself, I don't think he ever will be. And that's why the Blaine Gabbert signing kind of concerned me a little bit. It shows they don't fully trust him. It's possible it was just insurance. But it's sink or swim time. If training camp comes around and he's not ready to be the backup, he never will be. And then at that point, I think you just cut your losses. You stick with Blaine Gabbert. He's an experienced backup. He backed up with Brady. He's been in the NFL for over a decade. But it's more or less, to summarize, it's just sink or swim time for Buechele. But I am leaning towards him right now.
I like both dudes. This is hard for me. Mizzou guy, I love Blaine Gabbert. As a guy who was a Shane Bouchelle truther last year, I wanted him to be the backup last year. So this is a little difficult for me. But I'm leaning Bouchelle as well. I think it's possible that the Chiefs just want Blaine Gabbert here for OTAs and training camp and maybe even the preseason. They cut him. And then if they need someone later on in the season to come in, just barring an injury, they're saying, hey, Blaine, you know, you've been with us already. How about you come back in? They did it with Matt Moore, right?
Yeah.
So I think that could be the situation here is hey, we're going to get you acclimated. You're not going to be on the roster, but we'll get you acclimated. We'll call you up if we need you during the season. That might be what this is about. I wonder how much this is Brett Veach going, I want Shane Bouchelle to be the backup, and how much Andy Reid goes, yeah, well, I want a veteran backup quarterback. I want Blaine Gabbert. I want my Kevin Cobb. I want my Matt Moore. I want my Chad Henne. I wonder if there's any of that going on here. We know how much Andy Reid likes his backup QBs, but Lucas, I would agree. It's time to shit or get off the pot if you're going to go with Shane Bouchelle or not. At some point, you have to either let him sink or let him swim.
Yeah. Let's talk final wide receiver spots here. Now, look, we don't need to even waste our time. Look, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, going to have a job. Sky Moore, going to have a job. Kadarius Toney, they're talking like he's the best on the whole roster. Rashee Rice, you know, they're not going to dump him. I'm assuming four spots are taken. Could even say Justin Watson's five. However, if we want to throw him in the mix, you got a lot of bodies there coming in, right? From the Rosses, we have every Ross on the planet besides the TJ Maxx thrift store, whatever that's called, that kind of Ross. And Diana Ross is the only Ross who is not currently in Chiefs camp. You got Cornell Powell. You have Amir Smith-Marset. You got even guys named Ty Freifogel, who I think has the best last name on the entire Chiefs roster. Lucas, I'm going to pitch this to you. Who are the receivers that round out that room when all is said and done?
Yeah, I have pretty similar thoughts to you. I mean, Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore, MVS, Rashee Rice. Unless they get hurt or something just completely disastrous happens, they're making the roster. There's no question about that. I had Justin Watson at about 90%. And then I missed it, but I think Richie James is still on the roster. I put him, about 70%. So I think those are the top six. It's possible Richie James is they cut him because I'm not – I don't think he's not the special teams guy that Justin Watson is. So if he can't crack a clear-cut top four receiver spot, it's possible they move on for him. But I had him make his roster. He was your guy. Yep. And then so I think those are the six. But if they carry a seventh, it's Justin Ross. I'm not a Justin Ross guy. Like I know there's a lot of fans in Chiefs Kingdom who they're kind of on his hype train. But he went undrafted for a reason. Because a lot of fans saw mock drafts 4 years ago, way too early mock drafts. They saw him going like 20th overall, and they got him on draft and think they're getting the same guy. But he hasn't had a productive season since 2019. The last time he finished a productive college season, Patrick Mahomes had zero Super Bowls. And I have serious concerns that his injuries have – he's a different player. Like, he's just not the same guy. I hope I'm wrong. But then John Ross is John Ross. Like, he went one pick before Mahomes. He's done nothing in the NFL. Cornell Powell, Amir Smith-Marset – they're just guys. They're not going to do anything. So I think Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore, MVS, Rashee Rice, Justin Watson, Richie James, those are my six. Maybe they carry a seventh one, depending if they make room. If they want to make room for either it'll probably be Justin Ross if they carry a seventh because all the other guys will make it through waivers and then you'll bring them back on the practice squad. But to me, those first six are the ones I think are going to make it.
Is Justin Ross playing special teams, though? Either one of you. I mean, I don't think there's any. I don't even think there's special teams value there, and so I just don't see that fit. I feel like Ross from Friends has a better chance of making the Chiefs than Justin Ross, but we bang that drum so hard.
Have you seen him working out in shorts and a tank top?
I know.
Come on.
I'd love to see it. I would love to see it because the story would be so good. It really would. But I also want to be a sensible. I don't know. Maybe, whatever. Maybe I could hope. What's it hurt to hope?
Betsy Ross, Randy Moss, Kevin Ross, don't matter. Give me Richie James. Richie James is where I'm going. Richie James makes the roster. I do think the reason why, I think he takes those unnecessary hits off of Kadarius Toney. I think it allows Kadarius Toney to focus on being the best wide receiver one he can possibly be. I see Rick Ross now in the chat. Good one. A lot of Ross is going on. But I do think that he takes those unnecessary hits away from Kadarius Toney. He fills that quote-unquote McCole Hardman role. I think Richard James makes the roster. I think it comes down to Justin Watson, who, frankly, is very – yes, he plays special teams, but Justin Watson also is very – he kind of replicates MVS to a way. When you saw last year and MVS's snaps went down, who was getting those snaps? Well, it was Justin Watson. They're kind of a duplicate to an extent. I think Justin Watson's in more danger than folks are letting on. If he's in danger, then I do think it comes down to Justin Ross and Amir Smith-Marset. I think Amir Smith-Marset may be the guy who's being not talked about enough of making the final roster spot. But if I had to say right now on May 16th, those four, Watson and James, would be the six I would go with.
What about offensive tackle? And this is now this is really interesting to me. You got veteran. You've got rookie contract, so to speak. I think people forget how young Lucas Niang is, that he's still 2 years left on a rookie deal because he, you know, opted out that first year due to COVID in 2020. So, you know, his real rookie season was 2021. So that being the case, Donovan Smith, Juwan Taylor, Wanya Morris, you know, and then of course we have Prince Tega on the roster too. Lucas, how do you see that shaking out? Who's the man out there?
It's possible I'm reading too much into that, but when I saw the Donovan Smith signing, that kind of, like many fans, I raised an eyebrow because I was kind of confused what the deal was, because there was a lot of confusion when Juwan Taylor was first brought in. What is he going to play, left tackle? Is he going to play right tackle? When they brought in Donovan Smith, they made the answer very clear. He's only been a left tackle in the NFL. He came in the NFL in 2015, hasn't played anything but left tackle. And granted, they didn't sign him for a lot of money. I think his guaranteed money is only like $2.8 million. So they don't have a huge commitment, so he could be cut. But I imagine he'll make the roster. And then Wanya Morris, of course, is going to make the roster. Those are the three. I don't foresee them carrying more than four tackles. Then it comes down to Lucas Niang and Prince Tega. That's your guy, Matt. And I wrote last week about offensive players whose jobs could be in jeopardy, and I put Lucas Niang in there just because I'm reading too much into the Smith signing, but I think he's a lot closer to being on the roster bubble than maybe we're realizing. Because at that point, I think Donovan Smith, Juwan Taylor's making the team. If he gets, he's not going to get cut. Even if he's terrible, he's not going to get cut. Wanya Morris is not going to get cut. I don't foresee Donovan Smith not making the team. Then there's only one spot left. It's Lucas Niang or Prince Tega. I think Lucas Niang is the clear favorite, but they brought in Donovan Smith for a reason. Maybe that's possible. They don't trust either Juwan Taylor or Lucas Niang healthy and ready to go at left tackle, and that's why. Or they don't trust Lucas Niang, period. Like they didn't want to put Juwan Taylor at left tackle, put Lucas Niang at right tackle. It's possible that's either for ability reasons, they just don't think he's good enough, or probably the more likely they just don't trust his health. They just want another body in there. But then there's Wanya Morris. What are you going to do with him? Because he's clearly the fourth tackle at this point. So I don't think his roster spot is exactly as safe as maybe we're making it out to be. But I still believe in his potential. It just kind of sucks. He had a bad start to his career, opting out of 2020. I'm not going to hold that against him. But then that nasty injury, end of 2021, I think it was a torn patellar. Yeah. That's a nasty injury. It doesn't sound that bad when you hear it out loud, but when you actually look into it, that's a lot worse. He I don't think he dressed for a game until like around Thanksgiving last year. And he got injured in January of like it took him almost 10 months to come back. So it's possible they don't trust his health, but I think I would sell my Lucas Niang stock if I was out there, even though I'm a fellow Lucas, so it breaks my heart. But I think he's clearly the fourth guy between Smith, Taylor, and Morris.
Yeah.
If I had a vote for president right now on May 16th, 2023, Lucas Niang, I would be writing in because I am all in on Lucas Niang making this roster. I don't know why. I'm an idiot, not just for this, but I'm an idiot because I still believe in Lucas Niang. I think this is the perfect year to keep him because he can be your fourth tackle. I think Darian Kennard makes this roster as a guard. I think Darian Kennard is making this team as a guard. And so if Agreed. In an emergency, you need that fourth tackle or fifth, whatever it would be, fifth yeah. tackle, I guess, it'd be Darian Kennard. So I think you're looking at Wanya Morris, Lucas Niang, Donovan Smith, Juwan Taylor, and then Kennard as a guard. I think that actually leaves room to take a chance on Niang. Prince Tega Nwogo, I think, is probably the odd man out. I know Matt Connor is going to be devastated, although he still owes us a Prince Tega Nwogo jersey. I don't think I forgot. Connor, don't you think I forgot?
You got like the memory of an elephant or something. Get out of here.
Well, sorry. I'm a man who remembers things.
I know.
I remember that thing.
I'm a man of my word.
So you have to buy that jersey just for him to get cut.
Dang it.
I mean, you might want to wait until he gets cut. You might want to. Well, it's probably going to be a custom jersey either way. That's going to be an expensive bet/joke you made.
I know. I should have never done that. I don't know.
You know, when you look back though, and you look at those one hit wonder guys, you look at those jerseys, and you're like, oh, remember that guy? Remember Doug Minkiewicz on the Royals for that two seasons, or Mark Jacobs? You're like, oh yeah, look at that jersey over there. That's going to be you with Prince Tega Winogo. It'll go down as a classic.
Minkiewicz has such a great analogy there too. That's so right on. That's so right on. I love it. Yeah, I'm with you guys. I think Winogo's out. I think Winogo's going to be a waiver claim for another team. I think he's shown enough promise to woo the Chiefs, but the Chiefs are way too deep, and they also can't afford to roll the dice with him like a younger team can, who may want to give him some reps or maybe a higher spot on the depth chart. So to me, you know, he'll get floated and probably picked up. But you know what? Good for him. Good for him in that case, because he, he deserves a clear shot. Let's go into the final cornerbacks on the roster. And look, we already know it's same thing as receiver. Look, some of these guys we don't need to talk about L'Jarius Sneed. We don't need to talk about Trent McDuffie. We don't need to talk about Jalen Watson and his ability to win two games on his own as a seventh round pick. Joshua Williams earned some starting reps last year and was already a developmental tackle, developmental corner. So clearly he's going to be on the roster. That's four. So what you have left there, right, is kind of an interesting mishmash. By the way, if I named like five of the guys who were rookie free agents there, you would just assume I like made them all up, like Anthony Witherstone or Isaiah Norman. You're like, are these Chiefs cornerbacks or like Duke student name generator? Like, what is this?
Like random names that you'd see in Madden, like in 2029 drafts.
Yes, totally, totally. So who's coming away with those final spots? Either one of you want to take this one?
I got a fun one. So obviously L'Jarius Sneed, Trent McDuffie, Joshua Williams, Jalen Watson, they're locks. Because after that, it's really interesting. They don't really have a fifth, like, corner you would trust to actually play cornerback. The other guys I would probably lean towards special teams, like Nick Jones, DiCaprio Boodle, Lamar Jackson, the quarterback, and then the other guys – but then here's the fun one. I think Shamari Connor's a corner in the NFL. Like it's gonna sound weird because he was a safety at Virginia Tech, but he wasn't really a safety at Virginia Tech. That was his listed position. But in 2022, 40% of his snaps were at slot corner. In 2021, 65% of his snaps were at slot corner. And I saw one name floating around. It may have been Daniel Harms who said this, but I don't want to miscredit someone. But it's possible they view him as the L'Jarius Sneed replacement. Sure. Because this is kind of a similar story to what we went through with L'Jarius Sneed. Everyone thought he was a safety coming out. And then, no, they moved him to corner. But with Connor, we have more – because I think Sneed was actually a corner his second to last year in school. Then they moved him to safety, and then the Chiefs moved him back to corner.
Lucas, one pushback on that. While I agree with you a lot, and we've talked – because I actually was talking with Harms about this specifically – he did have 5.5 sacks 1 year in college, yeah. Shamari Connor, right? So he can blitz like L'Jarius Sneed. The biggest difference is L'Jarius Sneed ran a 4.3. Shamari Connor ran a 4.5. That's a pretty big difference, and it's noticeable when you watch those two guys play, the speed differential. That was the biggest pushback we had when it comes to a Shamari Connor for L'Jarius Sneed type of replacement. It's like, that's great and all. They're both very versatile, but there's still a large gap in the athletic territory there.
Yeah, and then Connor's also a questionable tackler. That was one of his main problems at Virginia Tech. But I guess it's just so weird because after the top four guys, they don't have a fifth guy you trust to play pure cornerback unless they want to go all in on their safeties and they want to put Justin Reed or Brian Cook down there in case they need depth because they have four guys, which theoretically is enough. But as we saw in the AFC Championship game last year when Sneed went down, you need to be deep at corner. So I don't think you can go four deep. They have to go five deep, and it's possible the fifth guy is one of the safeties, and they trust one of them, or maybe it's Shamari Connor. And I'm not like dead set on that, but he played so much slot corner in college that I do think it's possible they view him as kind of like a mini Sneed, but he just doesn't have the speed, and his tackling is a problem. But I think that's on the table because I don't unless they really trust Nick Jones, who they took in the seventh round this year.
Well, I mean, they trusted Jalen Watson. They took in the seventh round last year. They trusted Rashad Fenton in the Super Bowl, even who they took in the sixth round. If the Chiefs like you, it doesn't matter where you're drafted. They'll find a way to get you into the game. So do you think they keep 9 or 10 defensive backs total? Where do we think here?
Well, let's bring safeties into the conversation.
That's what I'm trying to bring in. That's what I'm trying to bring in right now. So do you think it's 9 or 10?
Well, you know, what's interesting to me here, and I want to go back to the Connor thing, not only because he's a Connor, and I just think he deserves more. We need more Connor coverage in this room as it is. Our Connors. That's all. I'm just trying to emphasize my last name. That's all. Look, I think the Chiefs have five. The Chiefs are five deep at safety. Like, I think Deion Bush is a very good special teams guy that deserves, you know, like Dave Tobe has to have his guys on the roster. You can't like not have them on the roster for the sake of
that down.
You know, so
what about Nazi Johnson? As KL points out in the chat, Nazi Johnson, underrated component to special teams. I mean, you're looking at so Mike Edwards, Brian Cook, Justin Reed, Shamari Connors, four.
And then Deion Bush.
It's either going to be Deion Bush or Nazi Johnson, probably. I think it's going to be between those two guys are fighting for one spot. So then you're going to take five corners because you're going to have at least five corners. Lucas, I agree with you there, at least five. So that's 10 defensive backs total. Shamari Connor can play a little bit of both. I'm 100% with you there. I think you can put him in a pinch. I don't think you want him to play corner predominantly, exclusively, but I think you can put him at corner in a pinch. That gives you some versatility. So that leaves one guy at corner, specifically corner, that leaves either Nick Jones, that leaves DiCaprio Boodle. I think a guy who's underrated is it Reese Taylor, the cornerback from Purdue that was an undrafted free agent. Yep. His RAS, relative athletic score, is through the roof. But are you going to trust a guy who's that raw to be your fifth corner? I don't know. That's typically more of a sixth corner type of spot. So with the Chiefs carrying at least probably five safeties, that almost takes one cornerback spot away. I'm intrigued to see which way they go about it. I think if I had to pick right now, they'd probably lean DiCaprio Boodle just based on the they know what they have with DiCaprio. Nick Jones seems a little bit more like a little bit of a wait and see. That Reese Taylor seems a little bit like a wait and see. DiCaprio Boodle, I think they trust enough in a pinch to go out there and make at least somewhat, not get too much exposed.
I think even based on this conversation, I'll just make this a prediction. Unless someone rises up like Nick Jones, who I think probably has the best chance here. I like his length. I like the way he looked in that rookie minicamp. I think there's really something, I think there's a go get it factor with him that may impress among the others. And we've seen Boodle kind of around. I think a lot of those guys can kind of flame out instead. But if someone doesn't rise to the top, I think the Chiefs just flush them all to the waivers and then the practice squad. And I think they make a move for a veteran to sign to go along with this really young group. That, to me, makes more sense for a Super Bowl contender than it does rolling the dice with Nazi Johnson to really try to make it work or whatever.
Same time, Steve Cash in the chat says Veach likes to add a vet corner after cuts. That could not have been better time, and you guys on the same page there. See, Arrowhead Addict listeners and commenters are geniuses. We've always said that. That's been the motto.
I think that's it. One more word, Shamari Connor. Remember, the Chiefs traded up. The Chiefs traded up in the second. The Chiefs traded up in the third. Then the Chiefs traded up just to move 15 spots in the fourth. Half the fourth round from 134 to 119 with the Vikings. They gave up a future fifth round pick. Like, it just felt like a lot. It felt like you should just be able to move up by, like, I don't know. To me, it would have been like a sixth round or something. But I don't know, given the future, it made me think, oh, they really liked this guy who probably had a third round grade and was falling halfway through the fourth. And then they thought, okay, we got a guy with a day two grade halfway through the opening round in the third, let's go get him. And then the Vikings did well to earn that credit and still stay in the fourth round. So if Shamari Connor has a day two grade on him on that draft board, that's actually, I mean, that's a solid play. You know, cause that's what they had with L'Jarius Sneed, also had a day two draft grade per Brett Veach. So, you know, we've seen what happens with him. He's going to get a hefty deal, you know, from someone this offseason. So That'll be interesting to me to see what he brings because they traded to get him in that respect. Lucas, let's go to you here for edge rotation. It's the one position that we really haven't covered here that I think is among the top roster battles. You know, we obviously don't need to talk about George Karloftis. We don't need to talk about, all the familiar guys in terms of like FAU or the others. But how do you think that roster battle is going to round out there out of training camp?
I think the four locks are, as you mentioned, Karloftis, FAU, Mike Dana, Charles Omeni, who he's kind of a tweener, but I classify him more as an edge guy. And then that's four right there. They're not going to carry six. I think they go five, and I think they go B.J. Thompson.
You don't think they carry six. They have traditionally carried four interior defensive linemen and then six edge rushers. So you think this year is going to be a little bit change?
It's possible. I mean, because that's five right there. And then does Truman Jones, Josh Kando, Malik Herring, or somebody else emerge to take that sixth spot? Or because I think they have a versatile enough defensive line, like Dana and Omenihu in particular, they could play inside or outside. So I think it's possible they go with the 10 best guys. And it doesn't really matter if they're interior or outside. They just go with the best guys possible. And I think Karloftis, FAU, Dana, Omenihu, I think those four are definitely making the roster. There's no question about that. I think Thompson will make the roster because I think they brought him in knowing he was a project. He's a freak. Like, he's just like – the way he's built is just insane, and his speed is insane. He was incredibly productive at Stephen F. Austin. So I imagine he's going to make the team because they kind of knew the deal when they got him. He was a project from the start. So it would have to be a really bad camp for him not to make it. So I think that's five. And then I don't know if we want to move on to the interior because I think I kind of consider it one big position. Because I think that's how they're going to approach it. They're not going to say, hey, we want six edge guys, four defensive tackles. I think they're just going to go with the best group they can. And obviously, you got to have a good balance. But it'll just kind of depend on who emerges from the interior. Because I think it's possible they carry six edge guys because I like the depth at their at defensive end a lot more than defensive tackle. Because after the top four guys they have at defensive tackle, it's Danny Shelton. It's just Danny Shelton. It's like Phil Hoskins. It's guys that I don't think they're really going to make the team. I was never a believer in Shelton when they brought him in last year. So I think it's possible they decided to keep either Truman Jones, Kando, or Herring, and then they just roll with four interior guys.
Yeah, I'm rolling with Chris Jones, Nnadi, Coburn, and Wharton on the interior because I do think Omenihu can play on the inside. I think Mike Dana can play on the inside. I think George Karloftis can play on the inside. So I do think they're going to keep in line with the recent trends of four interior guys and six edge rushers. You mentioned the four. I'm with you with B.J. Thompson as the five. I do think they still bring in a veteran guy. I'm still pretty convinced
Frank
that
Clark.
I think Frank Clark is a viable possibility. I know a lot of folks would be upset because of the contract. I don't know what contract he's going to want. I don't know what kind of contract he's going to get. If I had to lay a bet on it right now, I think he ends up somewhere in Florida, either Jacksonville or Miami. And then I think the Chiefs are probably the second best bet after those two teams. Is it going to be a Marcus Golden? I don't know. Is it going to be a Carlos Dunlap? I don't know. But I still think a veteran edge rusher will eventually sign with Kansas City. It makes too much sense, especially with how long we all expect it's going to take for B.J. Thompson to really make an impact.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't bring in Carlos Dunlap till July of last year. So I don't think they're done at edge, and I don't think they should be. Because when it comes to defense, especially defensive linemen and corners, I don't care who you are, you can never have too many good ones. The depth, you cannot have enough depth of those positions, especially because defensive linemen, they rotate out a lot. So we saw with the Eagles, you just got to keep them coming. You got to have almost two starting caliber units, or at least one starting caliber one or good one, and then one that's at least solid. And those are your backups, and those are the most successful ones. So I'm never going to be opposed to them bringing in another good corner, another pass rusher. But who that is still remains to be seen, whether it's Dunlap or Frank Clark.
BL, Kando's season is over. I don't know if Kando's season ever begun.
You know, when the Chiefs picked up B.J. Thompson, where you know you're using one roster spot, active roster spot, on a guy who is a question mark at pass rusher, you cannot employ a second guy, especially in his third season, who's still a question mark at – I mean, like right now and maybe next month. And like Kando probably has like the next 2.5 months – to do anything at all, or else it's over.
Yeah,
I just don't see it.
It's sink or swim time with him.
Yeah, it makes no sense for the Chiefs to have two developmental guys that were just still, you know, you don't draft BJ Thompson unless you're like, I'm done with Kendo, give me a new guy, like in that role, to develop. And that's what they did. So to me, that's what makes the most sense. I also think we're not done shopping at defensive tackle. I'm looking at that group and just thinking, when I read Ndamukong Suh's words, he's like, look, I ain't coming to training camp, but in week one, I'll be ready for whoever wants to sign me. I'm looking at that going, yep, I'd rather have that and have him there in week one than I would Derek Nnadi. I mean, how healthy is Turk Wharton coming in? Who knows? I'm good for a signing there too.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, because for my money, defensive tackles, I think, is their – this may sound weird. I think it's their weakest position overall, because I know Chris Jones is there. But when you think of the guys after him, well, if you take away Chris Jones, there's Turk Wharton, who I think is okay. I'm lower on him than most people. Then there's Derek Nnadi. I'll do respect to him. He's been a great guy for the Chiefs. I'm not a Derek Nnadi fan. Matt can attest in the Slack when the Chiefs re-signed him, that was not a good day to be me. No, I kid a little bit. Derek Nnadi's not super good. And then Keandre Coburn's he's a rookie. I mean, you can't rely on day three picks to be contributors. Yeah, it's great if they are. We saw with the corners, but you can't go into the season saying, we need the sixth round pick to be a contributor. We're in trouble. Because I know there was a debate. We had a debate last year, or I think it was Adam and Sterling. Who's the most important player on the Chiefs, or the most important defensive player? That was it. I think it was between Steen and Jones. To me, it's Chris Jones. Because if Chris Jones goes out, the starting defensive tackles are Tershawn Wharton and Derek Nnadi. Not super pleased about that, because Turk Wharton's not much of a run defender. He's kind of built like Chris Jones. He's more of a pass rusher. Still decent against the run, but he's more built to be a pass rusher. And Derek Nnadi, I'm going to try and be politically correct, he's not an NFL starting caliber player, in my opinion. And that's putting it very nicely, because he's supposed to be a run stuffer, but he was very poor against the run last year. So if there's no Chris Jones, their opposing offenses are just going to exploit the interior of their defensive line unless they get creative with Omenihu or Dana. So I think they got to add another guy. The problem is there's not a lot of quality guys out there, because I'm not sure how much Ndamukong Suh has left in the tank. And then after that, it's just a bunch of question marks, whether do they have gas left in the tank, period, or do they have injury problems? Because like if they're unsigned well after the draft, odds are they're not – there's not many prime free agents left on the street. There's going to be some baggage or problems one way or another. So that's one of the positions I was concerned about. And I'm surprised they didn't address earlier, but they tried to address it. They literally, it's on record. They tried to trade it for Mazi Smith from Michigan, and they didn't do it. So it was clear to us. They know they had a problem there, but they just didn't, I guess they didn't have a chance to address it until Keandre Coburn.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can't address everything you want. And certainly we agree there, but yeah, you know, we'll see what happens. I think we all agree the Chiefs aren't done shopping, but there are a lot of intriguing roster battles ahead. Fortunately, we've got all kinds of OTAs, mandatory minicamp, and training camp in the preseason yet to come. So we may change a lot of our opinions between now and then. Lucas Straczynski, you've been so kind to join us on the show, talking Chiefs. We actually took more of your time than we thought we would, but thanks so much for joining the show, sir.
No problem. Thank you. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Folks, if you are on Twitter, follow Lucas at Straczynski. That's with the Z. Straczynski Lucas. And, of course, you can read all kinds of his stuff at Arrowhead Addict, where we're pleased to publish his thoughts and his analysis there. So thanks so much.
Yeah, I see Chris saying, with what money or did someone restructure when it comes to signing a guy? It would have to be a restructure at some point. And that's probably why Frank Clark at this point would be on the outside looking in. There's a reason why they would have tried to get something done, because he's already on the hook for a $7 million cap hit, dead cap hit, no matter what. That obviously means he was not going to take the veteran minimum, or else they would have tried to do that. But again, who knows on – he wouldn't take a veteran minimum deal on – what's that? April, but maybe he would take one in July. That's what it comes down to. We will see what his market holds. But before we go any further, we want to give a shout out to DraftKings. If you guys want to do us a huge solid, if you guys like to bet, go to DraftKings, use promo code Arrowhead, bet $5 on any sport, get 150 back in bonus bets instantly, win or lose. That's code Arrowhead at DraftKings. New customers only, 21 plus and physically present in Kansas. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Valid one offer per customer. Minimum $5 deposit and $5 wager required. Tough word, it got me. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets and expires 7 days after being awarded. See full terms at DraftKings.com. Arrowhead at DraftKings. Required, got me.
Man,
it got me this time. I was cruising through it, and that word just...
I get it. Sterling, I have an interesting question for you based on what's happening tonight. But first, just to get to a couple comments here, Chris Albright had some defensive tackle questions, and I think we should just banter them. I think they're good questions to bring up given our conversation. First, he says, with what money or does someone restructure? Which you answered that. But, and then what's up with Stone Cold and an extension? Just curious kind of what you're thinking about the lack of news there. Does that bother you? Do you think something's going to get done?
We know what it is. They're waiting for Quinnen Williams to sign.
Okay.
Jeffrey Simmons signed.
You think that's dependent?
I just think Chris Jones is another world to me. Oh, 100% is dependent. Quinnen Williams is 25, the top five defensive tackle in the entire NFL. Yeah, it's dependent. Chris Jones is better. There's no denying it, but you have to take age into the equation as well. If you sign Quinnen Williams to a five-year deal, you know you're probably getting his best 5 years right now. You sign Chris Jones to a five-year deal, are you getting how many elite seasons left? Three? Four? Maybe you're getting five. But then you're talking about an outlier of that situation. Sure. So I understand where there's a little bit of question marks here. I can understand that. I don't think it's going to happen. It's different than baseball. You don't want a Miguel Cabrera situation. You don't want a guy. I don't think it's going to happen, but I'm saying you don't want that where you're paying top end dollar for the end of a guy's career. I do think Chris Jones last year was the best defensive tackle in football. Chris Jones deserves to get paid, and he will get paid, but it's going to come down to Quinnen Williams, and then Chris Jones is going to get a dollar more or $10,000 more than whatever he gets. That's what it's going to come down to. That's my personal preference, or that's my personal thinking. It's going to come down to whenever Quinnen signs.
Okay. Yeah, I'll be interested to see it. I don't know what I think. Honestly, I don't want to say I've been burned because no one's like nothing personal to me or anyone else, but I've just heard the Chiefs say enough positive things about a contract extension with someone, Tyreek Hill, Orlando Brown. Now at this point, I just don't even care what anyone says. I don't believe him. I don't believe what anyone, you know, like when I hear Brett Veach and Andy Reid now say that Lucas Niang is looking better than ever and he's so ahead of track and they're excited to see what he can do. And then we signed Donovan Smith. I'm thinking, yep, that's exactly what it was. So yeah, you know, who knows at this point. So all the good things like, oh yeah, we want to hear it for forever. It's like, yeah, I'll believe it when I see it.
It's the show me state for a reason. Yep. Missouri's a show me state. Show me. Don't tell me. This is not 1964 where you can get stuff done on a handshake and a talk. It's all to the NFL. It's also the NFL. Their job is to have some smoke screens and talk. You can't take them all at face value.
All right, tonight is the NBA draft lottery, my friend. Before we get to the end of the show and our must list, and I'm dying to bring in Richard, our producer, but before we do, let me ask you this. Would you be in favor of the NFL adopting an NBA lottery type system for the draft?
Yes. 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 Yes.
Yes. Okay, good.
Part of it is it deters tanking. It won't completely take it out. The NBA, you can attest, I was there when the 76ers won 10 games. Like that's when I worked for the 76ers. I understand you'll never curb it out completely.
Yeah.
But to an extent, I think you can at least try. I think this is a step in the right direction to curb tanking. You wouldn't probably have Lovie Smith getting canned, winning that final game of the season last year. Like, you wouldn't be tanking for so-and-so, tanking for Caleb Williams. That's already a tagline this year.
Right.
The NFL draft lottery at least is some sort of deterrent. They're doing it in baseball now, and even as a guy who's a Royals fan, I think it's a good move. I think it's a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
I'm a fan.
I think the NBA draft lottery is one of the single greatest sporting inventions or ideas I've ever heard in any sport. I just think it's, I think it's awesome. I think it's totally awesome. And I've rooted for teams that should have had the first pick who lost it in some ping pong. Did they freeze the ping pong balls to, you know, to pick? I mean, like I'm here for all of it. I'm here for all of the conspiracy theories about it, whatnot. But I'm with you. I think it gets rid of tanking, or at least curbs that. I think it adds mystery. And you're telling me that the NFL would not love another thing to promote for 2 weeks of the offseason than a draft lottery? Imagine an NFL draft lottery. They would have like a whole week's worth of stuff about it. We'd be talking about the NFL even more than we do. I can't believe Roger Goodell's not already doing this.
Yeah. It would, I think, solve a lot of issues.
Yeah.
A lot of issues. By the way, the NBA is so much different than the NFL. If you're a coach in the NBA and you won a NBA championship, there's no guarantee you're back. Bud, Coach Bud for Milwaukee, won a championship. Gone. Monty Williams for the Suns, right? Went there a few times. Gone.
Crazy.
Nick Nurse with the Toronto Raptors won one with Toronto. He's gone. Frank Vogel won one with the Lakers during the COVID bubble year. He's gone. And these are all guys that are back on the market after the firing of Doc Rivers for the Sixers today. It's crazy. Well, I guess Doug Peterson, though, had the same thing happen with the Eagles. And a professional head coach is not as glamorous as you think it is.
Yeah. Yeah. It only makes what Andy Reid's body of work resembles like that much more impressive. It's amazing. It's really amazing. Well, hey, we've come to the end of another show. Before we go, though, we always pause at the end of our podcast to recommend something of some kind to all of you. The reason we do it is because we love to geek out, and we also love to share whatever we're into. Richard, are you there?
I'm here, guys.
Here's our beloved producer, Richard. You can follow him at his Twitter handle, which is listed right there, DaRonte.
Or follow him on the street of Chicago. You can follow him there like I did.
Yeah, you can follow me home. That's what Sterling did.
You stayed at Richard's house.
Oh, yeah. I stayed at his crib, dude. It was great. Right behind him. No, pause. Right behind where he's sitting right now.
Yeah, like right here.
Yeah, like right there.
Right on the carpet. He actually just slept on the carpet. I don't need much.
Bad
he just
back.
Curled up in a ball. I was like, it was like real sad. But I did. Like,
I did right. About 12 spirals like a dog, and then really,
I gave him a little toy. Yeah, it's real nice.
I don't need much, but I know I love you.
All right, Richard, what is your must list this week?
All right, actually, to me, this is very normal. I was looking for a movie, something to play in the background while I did chores, a chore movie, I like to call them, and I ended up just putting down everything Chubies. I was doing. Right, exactly, a chubby. I put down everything I was doing to watch because I was enjoying the that new Dungeons and Dragons film. I think it was really fun. Oh. It sounds really insane to say that. Like I kind of ignored it when it was in theaters. I haven't watched a movie in theaters in a while, but I really enjoyed it. It was really fun. It was funnier than it was a fantasy film. So let me just say, it's a comedy fantasy film. Really well written. Really, it had like just a nice way of like taking everyone's story and just giving it a nice conclusion, which that 2000s movie never did with Marlon Wayans. I was a weird fan of that as a kid because I had a bad taste in film. So I used to love that one because of Marlon Wayans, but it's an awful film. This one really this one really made a better film out of the Dungeons and Dragons property. So yeah, check it out. It was fun. It's silly. It doesn't, you know, it's just 2 hours of your life that you don't feel like you wasted. Don't do the chores either.
I like it. I like it.
Check it out.
Are you guys into Andrew Bird?
He's cool. He's a good singer songwriter.
I know the name. I don't know if I know him or like what all he's in. If it's just him,
I first got an Andrew Bird album back in 2005. It's called The Mysterious Production of Eggs, which I still think is his best album.
Mm-hmm.
But even up to like last year and 2019, the dude was putting out like incredible album. I mean, like in other words, he's got 20 years of great albums. If you've never heard him, he holds a violin and he whistles as like a primary instrument. Like he'll sing and then whistle in the microphone. Like it's like a real instrument, not like Bobby McFerrin, Don't Worry, Be Happy whistling or something. It's like, and he loops all his stuff. He'll play his violin like an electric guitar or something. And then he'll loop that and then he'll play some fiddle and then he'll whistle and loop that into, and he does this whole thing. And He's absolutely incredible. He's mesmerizing live. He did like a whole tour with like the orchestra in every major city that I was able to catch, and like in Tennessee was amazing. Anyway, if you've never heard Andrew Bird, he had a great song called Sisyphus just a couple albums ago. Richard, you're nodding your head like you know, at least know something what I'm talking about.
I agree
about
with the Eggs one. As soon as you said Mysterious Production of Eggs, I was like, yeah, that's like the only album I've ever listened to. And that was from 2005. So I was in high school and I was into Andrew Bird for a second.
Yeah.
Does he whistle like a bird?
He's a little songbird, It's like a full-throated whistle. You're like, wow, I didn't know someone could like whistle that bit. And it sounds like so nerdy or weird or something, but it's like completely captivating. And and the songs are like accessible and experimental all at the same time. Anyway, killer. I've seen him live like 4 or 5 times. I saw him play like Austin City Limits, and he's great.
Just for you, I made a note. Andrew Bird. I'm gonna check that dude out. I'll check him out. Mine is Iron Maiden. I absolutely love Iron Maiden, and this is being brought back up again because I am so sick and tired of the fact they're not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
That's crazy.
This is the most asinine. It's beyond befuddling. It makes me angry. Like, it honestly makes me angry. I love Iron Maiden. They're one of my top three favorite bands of all time. What? They laid the groundwork for a lot of today's, you know, new metal, not new metal with the NU, but NEW metal, experimental metal. What they have done is continuously evolved. And seeing like Cyndi Lauper and then half a Wham, half a Wham is going to get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame before Iron Maiden. It's absurd. I love Sheryl Crow. Sheryl Crow went to Mizzou. Sheryl Crow should not be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame before damn Iron Maiden. This is frustrating. It's infuriating. I'm angry. I'm livid. I'm irked. They have my ire. What the hell, Cleveland? Get your shit together.
It's weird. I'm surprised that they're not in. I can't believe that like Bruce Dickinson is not a member of the Hall of Fame is weird.
It's absurd. It's asinine. I honestly don't understand it. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has become this whole thing where it's like, well, let's add these bands from the other genres. That's great and all. How about add one of the cornerstones of freaking rock and metal? Literally, Iron Maiden is one of the pillars, and you're keeping the pillar out. I'm gonna go to Cleveland and protest and give them a piece of my mind. Okay,
give them that piece of your mind. I love that phrase.
I'm going to have them running to the hills, okay? And I'll tell you this. If they're going to die, they're going to die with their boots on. You know what, pal? It's 2 minutes to midnight.
Oh, my gosh. My favorite Iron Maiden is probably Seventh Son of the Seventh Son.
It's great.
Seventh Son.
They're going to fear the dark after I'm done. I'm telling you, I am.
Dude. Hey, by the way, what's the
name? All those wasted years making those incredible albums.
Dude.
Okay, I'm done now. I'm done.
Don't they have like there's a character...
Eddie.
Is that his name? I always wondered if he had a name.
Eddie the Ed. Because when you say it with a British accent, you take the H off. So it's Eddie the Ed.
Eddie the Ed.
Eddie the Head. But it's Eddie the Ed because you know they're British, ain't they? So you got to take the H off.
Right. Yeah. All right. Richard, do you have Iron Maiden opinions, Richard?
No, I agree. I've only listened to that one album. Isn't it just Number of the Beast? That's a good
album. That one album? Just that one album.
It's great, though. Like, honestly, I mean, I've listened to more of their stuff, too, beyond that. But I'm more of an album person, so, like, I don't listen to singles. I'll pick up an album, so I knew that was the album to get for the most, so I picked that one up. It was rad. I dig it. I don't know why I haven't listened to them more, but... I'm with you. That's really odd that they're not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
It's.
By the way, Tom Hood wants to know, is Huey Lewis in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? I hope so. My first concert ever, 9 years old, Roberts Stadium, Evansville, Indiana. Huey Lewis and the News, talking about the heart of rock and roll, is still beating. And from what I've seen, I believe him. Put him in the Hall of Fame.
My girlfriend said, please, can you stop shouting? It's kind of loud down here. Thank you. So on that note, I think we need to get out. I'm sorry, Natalie. That was me. That's my fault. I got heated about Iron Maiden.
Wait, in order to take us out of the show, sing Bruce Dickinson, like give a tribute to Natalie. Like how would Bruce sing to Natalie? Like an apology.
We're the trooper. Yeah, this is not going to happen. You do not want to hear me sing.
Never mind.
You do not want to hear me sing Iron Maiden. You think I can hit those high notes? Are you serious?
Yeah, I do.
That's why they should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and not me.
Richard, let's hear it.
I'm not going to try to do that right now.
Never mind. Take us out.
This was the Arrowhead Addict Podcast with Richard, with Matt Connor, and myself, Sterling Holmes. Thank you guys so much for hanging with us, so much for listening to us. Thanks for hanging around for our must list, where we act and give you guys just some of the best stuff out there, quite frankly. You know, I mean, seriously, it's kind of fun. We enjoy doing this, and I hope you guys enjoy it as well. If you guys want to leave us a review, that does mean the world to us. That actually does help us a ton. 5-star review, any thoughts, any questions, anything you want answered, put it wherever you listen to this podcast. Thank you guys so much. Until next Tuesday, we are out.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.